So far, we have concentrated on the accumulation of our assets. But now we're going to take a look at the distribution phase, not the accumulation phase. In other words, we retired. We've hung up whatever hat we were wearing and are now going to live off of whatever cash flows are coming our way through Social Security, maybe a small pension, maybe real estate, but our financial investments that we've put in our 401k or Roth IRA or whatever. So we're going to take a look at simply bonds in retirement, which is what people were recommended 50, 100 years ago, and then stocks in retirement, which is very scary for most people thinking of just in relying on the stock market. And then what we'll do is we'll combine the two. We'll create an illustration with a stock fund and a bond fund. And then we'll see what a balance fund can do for us. So let's first take a look at bonds in retirement, and we're going to not use the browser. I have them on my hard drive because it just looks better. Okay, so first we look at bonds in retirement. So this is an illustration, and there's the scary stuff, be afraid, be very afraid, all the stuff that nobody reads. What are we going to start with? Now, I agonized over this, folks, because I thought, I'm not sure, if $400,000 might be a little bit too much, but not for you younger folks. You could easily amass that a whole lot more if you start early and, are consistent. And I thought maybe $300,000 first. So let's do $400,000. So what we're going to do here, what are we going to do? We're going to start with a bond fund that's been around for over 40 years. And go back 25 years with a, what happened? I didn't do that, did I? With a $400,000 nest egg, okay? And then we're going to take 5% out annually. We're just going to look at what we have and take out 5% every year, redo that. But also every year we're going to increase our withdrawal 3%. No, we're not going 5, 8. 11, no, it's whatever we did the previous year, we're going to increase that amount by 3%. So it's going to go up slowly, which is what inflation's been doing, 2 to 3% over the last few decades. And so we're starting off with about $20,000 a year pulling out of our nest egg. And what we're hoping for is to do a little bit better than that. And bonds, 20, 30 years ago used to do 5, 6, 7%. 8% some. And what we see is our nest egg is growing. There's a little dip in 94 when interest rates jump, but our nest egg is growing fairly small, slowly. But also, our withdrawals are going up. Our withdrawals are going up with our nest egg because we're not only recalculating 5%, we're also adding a little bit every year, 3% to the contribution, to the withdrawal rate. And then what happens in 2007? We hit 445,000, and now, right, we're hit by the Great Recession. Bonds took a hit. Stocks got clobbered. But remember, our withdrawals are still rising. We haven't changed that. Now, of course, this is not static. You're not set in stone. It's not a. You can change that. You can take out less when the market falls. But let's just say we continued to take that out. And then we started to recover. But what happens is we don't recover fully because not only are our withdrawals increasing, interest rates have come down substantially. So we're not generating the same amount of income that we did from bonds 20, 30 years ago. And so we've taken out of our $400,000 nest egg, we've been able to generate income of $725,000. But notice what's happened to our nest egg. Well, we're 25 years into retirement, folks, so it's not as though we're going to live that much longer, but you don't know that. That's the problem. If you knew when you were going to die, it'd be a whole lot easier to do planning, wouldn't it? But it's a great problem to have. We're living a lot longer than we used to. People, 70 used to be a very ripe old age. Now people say, I'm 70, I'm just getting started. And so let's take a look at the graph, and we see the blip, the little downturn in 94. And then we come back up, and then we hit the peak at around, what, 2004 and 5, and then 2008 kills us, right? And now our nest egg is being withdrawn, is coming down quite substantially. But still, we still have a pretty good cushion for the last few years in the Sunnyvale Rest Farm, right? What happens if we say, we've been with stocks all our lives, we're going to stay with stocks? Well, it's pretty risky, isn't it? Especially as you get older. So now we'll take a look at that same mutual fund we looked back in Chapter 4, which invests in stocks, mostly domestic, large cap, growth, and income. And we start off with $400,000, and we're doing the same withdrawal rate. The withdrawals are going to be exactly the same, 5% to start, and then adding a 3% to that withdrawal every year. But we're going to seriously hope for a better accumulation during our withdrawal distribution phase. And that's exactly what we see. In the late 90s, the market went in two directions, up and way up. And by the end of 2000, we had, and this guy actually did well in 2000. 2000 was the beginning of the downturn, and this mutual fund actually held up in 2000, not in 2001 and 2. So over 1 million. But then the 2000 to 2002 bear market took its toll, and by 2002 we were down to a little under 800,000. But you know, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. Some people lost 50%, and we bounced back pretty quickly, right? By 2004-5 we're back up to where we were, plus our withdrawals are increasing, remember that, folks. And now in 2007 we had 1.2, and now we're back down to 800,000. The roller coaster hits us. We didn't run, we didn't hide, and sure enough, we've come back to the point where at the end of September 2017, we've got 1.8 million, which is why I was grappling with whether we should start with 400,000, because remember, exponential growth is exponential growth, and it surely does make our eyes pop over time. We've taken out the same $726,000, but our nest egg is 1.85 million. Pretty amazing. Now, of course, we would probably have spent quite a bit more of that, realizing that we're getting up there and it's time to enjoy ourselves, but we received 10%, which even after 2000 to 2002 and 2008, not bad, folks. And the roller coaster will be much more volatile, won't it? The graph, look at it. Up, 2004 was a little downturn right there, but there's the 2000 to 2002, and then there's the 2008-9, but sure enough, we see the exponential growth, not as high as if we weren't withdrawing money, but hey, we're living off of this stuff. But is it realistic, folks? Is that realistic to have people to have everything in stocks and retirement? No, it's not a good idea, folks. You'll give yourself a heart attack. So this is what we did. We took half of that nest egg and put it in the bond fund that we just, the first bond fund we looked at, and we took the other half and put it in that stock fund that we just looked at. And we're going to see that, yes, indeed, it's going to reduce the volatility and it's going to reduce the return. Just as what we'd expect. There's the scary stuff. Be afraid. Be very afraid. And we're starting off with that same $400,000 nest egg, taking 5% out every year, readjusting that, adding 3% to our withdrawal as inflation goes up. And we see a very similar type of pattern. A little blurb in 94 when interest rates came up after the recession of 91, 92. And then we see our off to the races. The 2000, we have 740. And the 2000 to 2002 bear market does not affect us as much as it did with stocks. Why? Because we have the bond portfolio. And then we hit 2007, 850. Right, yes. There, maybe we had a heart attack right there. Because 2008 and 9 was horrible. But if we followed Mr. Warren Buffett's advice, we did not run. We did not hide. What's going? Oh yeah, you're right. So here again, our withdrawals are increasing. I apologize. I looked in the wrong column. I think our withdrawals are zero. No, here they are. Our withdrawals are increasing to the same $726,000, but in this case, we've done 8.63%, which gives us a nest egg of 1 million, And remember, by now, we're in our late 80s, mid-90s somewhere, depending on when we retire. You millennials are probably not going to retire until you're 70, so now you're over 100, maybe. And you're doing okay. The roller coaster's not as nearly as bad, but still fairly choppy. And notice, this is the bond fund going down. There's the stock fund going up. Not bad, huh? So it really does make a case for still keeping some stocks, maybe not 50%, but still some growth in your retirement portfolio, because chances are you're going to live a long time in retirement. Now, what I want to show you next is our last example, and that is a bond fund. And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, a balance fund. And folks, I'm really big fan. You probably noticed, of balance funds, especially for people who are terrified in their younger years. But in your older years, a well-run balance fund, not going to try to time the market, but definitely going to find value where there is value. And if they find value in stocks, they're going to increase their stock exposure up a little bit, maybe not, you know, a whole lot, but when they see that stocks are overvalued, they're going to decrease their stock exposure. Same thing with bonds. And this balance fund has been around in one shape or another since 1937. And they are very good, folks. I mean, I'm not trying to sell you on them, but I'm just saying that they've done very well for their investors. And their strategy is never to have more than 75% stocks, 25% bonds, and never have less than 50% stocks, 50% bonds. So they move slowly. They don't make big bets. They don't move everything into bonds and everything into stocks and everything into cash. It's not an asset allocation fund. It's not a dynamic strategies fund. But it is a balance fund. And you know, we said they try to stay about 60 stocks, 40% bonds. And what has that done for us? Well, it turns out it's done marvels. It's done really well for us. Here's the scary stuff. Be afraid. Be very afraid. And we put in for the same 400,000. And now we see a little blip in 1994. We're off to the races. In 2000, we have 749. In 2001, we have 784. There's the bond part kicking in. And then 2002, they got hit a little bit. They're down to 709. But then look at that. By 2007, they have almost $1 million in a balanced fund. And then it goes down quite substantially in 2008, but not anywhere near as folks who just had stocks. Comes back. Starts coming back. The recovery has been continuing, even slowly as we age, but still it's still continuing. And then the same $726,000 income. Remember, the income is exactly the same in all the cases. But look at our portfolio. Not as much as pure stocks, but much more than just letting the bond fund and the stock fund do their thing. That's what a good, well-run balance fund can do for you at an average annual rate of return of 9.35%. Now, will they continue in the future, folks? I don't think so. It's just too much to ask of anybody. Look at Dodge and Cox balance, too. The same thing. I just look at those guys and say, you know, you've done so well. If you just continue to do, you know, 60% of what you've done, 70% of what you've done in the past, I would be a happy person. And, of course, we're going to see the roller coasters not quite as bad as it was with stocks, but about the same as what it was with stocks and bonds, a little less volatile. And, yes, that's the case for balanced funds. That's why I'm a big fan of them, especially for people who are terrified in their younger years and for everybody in their retirement phase. Okay, so if you have any questions, please contact me. We can do other illustrations depending on what, you know, what your nest egg is or what you believe it will be, and then how much you want to have allocated to stocks, bonds. It's very flexible, and it's, there's no guarantee, folks. Remember, that's why there's all that scary verbiage in these things. Don't think this is what's going to happen. You know it's not going to happen. Something like it should happen, but something a whole lot worse could happen, and something a whole lot better can happen too. But that's the future. We don't know what it's going to be, but the past is a pretty good indicator that if the world doesn't end in a nuclear holocaust, or we die in our own waste, or Ebola, or a meteorite, or a tsunami, or disco returning, the future looks bright, in my humble opinion. Come back in 30 years, I'll probably be gone, but see if I'm correct. Best of luck and success to you all. We wish you very many happy returns from the stock market and from life. See ya.